Prayer for the teaching of God's word this evening. Father, we come before you this evening. We thank you for the fact that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And as we are in a mindset to be grateful for all your benefits, tomorrow we pray that we might focus and concentrate on those benefits and give due thanks to a God who has provided for everything. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for salvation by grace through faith. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for logistical benefits, your day-by-day provision for food and water, air that we breathe. We thank you for everything, Father. Thank you for living in a free country where we can worship and serve you freely. We thank you for the body of Christ, fellow believers. And we just give you thanks, Father, for all things. And help us to have an attitude of gratitude, Father, as we reflect upon your goodness this evening. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Well, tomorrow's Thanksgiving, and so I have my traditional Thanksgiving message. And this is the one time a year where we can reflect upon the goodness of God and what God has freely provided for us by His grace. And so this evening, I want to give you 20 things to give thanks for. 20 things to give thanks for. We'll begin in Psalm 106. So let's open our Bibles to Psalm 106. And 106 verse 1. Praise the Lord. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. So item number one, the first thing we need to give thanks for is the goodness of God. The goodness of God. This phrase is repeated, by the way, again in Psalm 107, verse 1, Psalm 118, verse 1, and Psalm 118, verse 29. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And as we opened up with James 1:17, of course, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. The gifts are good because God is good. Think about that. So, based on his character of goodness, God gives good things. So, thanks is really directed toward God. And this is why this holiday was originally set aside. It was set aside and decreed in our country to give thanks to God. And thanksgiving is directed toward the character of God, and God and his being or essence is good. And aren't you glad you serve a good God? And instead of a God giving us what we deserve, God gives us mercy, God gives us grace, God provides for our needs. God in his essence is good. And because God is good, we can give thanks for what he gives, his works. And Psalm 107, verse 8 and 9, the works of God, there are many that we could list, but in Psalm 107, verse 8, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And it includes verse 9, he satisfies a longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. So he fills the soul with goodness. God provides food, and God also refreshes our innermost being with his goodness. Psalm 136, verse 1, we see the phrase repeated, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And then he lists some of his works with the children of Israel and God's provision for the nation. He goes back to the creation in verse 7. He made great lights. For his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day. For his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night. He struck Egypt in verse 10 and their firstborn. He brought Israel out from among the Egyptians with a strong hand in verse 12. He divided the Red Sea in two. He made Israel pass through the mist. He overthrew Pharaoh, verse 15. He led and directed his people in the wilderness. He protected them by striking down kings in verse 17 and verse 18 and 19, including Sihon and Og in verse 19 and 20, and brought them to the land, the promised land, in verse 21. And he remembers the nation Israel continually in their lowly state in verse 23, delivers them from their enemies, gives food to all flesh, verse 25. And then 26 sums up, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever." And so his works, because God is good, his acts are good. His acts are beneficial for man. And God delivered the children of Israel from bondage and slavery and provided for them in the wilderness, even when they were in rebellion against him. Think about that. And God today provides many things for us that we can be thankful for, his works. And we'll look at some of those works that he has provided for us as believers in Jesus Christ. The third thing to give thanks for is the Word of God. The Word of God. Psalm 119. And the Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. It's the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses. It's interesting, it comes almost on the heels of the shortest chapter in the Bible, two chapters back, Psalm 117. And so we have the shortest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 117, two verses. And then Psalm 119 with 176 verses. And what would the longest chapter in the Bible be about? The Word of God. God's Word. And the importance of God's Word. And Psalm 119, verse 62. "At midnight I will rise to give you thanks to you." And some of you ladies may be up at that time preparing for tomorrow. Some of you may not, but think about that. "At midnight I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments." And so it's another term for the Word of God. There's many terms for the Word of God in Psalm 119. Righteous judgments is one of those. So we should give thanks to God that God has revealed himself in the Scripture. How will we know about this God that we serve other than the written revelation that we have called the Bible? And that's something to give thanks for. Fourth thing to give thanks for is answered prayer. God does answer our prayers. He does hear our needs as believers in Jesus Christ. In Psalm 118, verse 21, "I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation." Salvation there means deliverance. Here the psalmist praises the Lord for answered prayer. "You've answered me. You've heard my prayer." And so if you have any prayers that you can recall that God has answered, you can thank him for that. That's another thing to be thankful for, that God does hear our prayers. We can communicate with a living God. And that's the beauty of prayer, that we can talk to God and he hears us and he knows our needs and he responds to us and he answers our prayers. The fifth thing we need to thank God for, his righteousness. His righteousness. Psalm chapter 7, verse 17. "I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. We know that God gives us His perfect righteousness when we believe in Jesus Christ. And then He enables us on an ongoing basis with imparted righteousness as we live for Him. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, we have the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And that means from the point when we believe in Christ, we have imputed righteousness. And then as we walk by faith, we receive His imparted righteousness. And so God gives us the ability to serve Him. How about that? It's not just left up to our power and our resources and our intelligence and our wisdom. All of this comes from Him. So God is righteous, and He reveals righteousness, and He gives us His righteousness. Another attribute of God is wisdom. God is all wise, and He's all powerful. And so the sixth thing we need to give thanks for, we give thanks for God for giving us wisdom and power. Daniel chapter 2, verse 23. God gives us His wisdom. And you remember Daniel, who interpreted the king's dream, he realized that God is the source of wisdom, and God does reveal Himself and gives the interpretations, as Daniel states clearly in verse 20 through 23. But let's take a look at verse 23. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might. Word might means power. And have now made known to me what we have asked of you. For you have made known to us the king's demand. So God gives His wisdom. And that's exactly what James 1:5 indicates, that if we lack wisdom, that it comes from God. And wisdom, of course, comes through the Scripture. Power, of course, comes by the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit. For the believer in the church age, as we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, we manifest spiritual power. And we can implement the fruit of the Spirit to live the Christian way of life. And so God is a source for divine wisdom and also power. As God gave to Daniel, so He does for the believer today. Seventh thing to be thankful for, we need to give thanks for faith and love. As Romans 1:8 indicates, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And so the idea here is that these Roman believers who came to faith in Christ, they had a reputation of trusting God because they were living the spiritual life. And that had impact upon others. And so we can thank God, let me boil it down simply, not only thanking God for faith and love, but what this really means is we're thanking God for the spiritual progress of other believers. You ever thank God for someone else's spiritual progress? See? And that's something to be thankful for, is people taking the Word of God and growing grace, and especially for the pastor. That's something very encouraging to see other believers taking in the Word of God and growing and serving the Lord and witnessing to others. And that's very encouraging. It was the Apostle Paul, and it's encouraging to others today. Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 through 6 is another passage. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. So when we see other fellow believers growing in God's grace, we need to take time and say, thank you, God, for that. I pray that they might continue to advance in faith and love. The eighth thing, we need to give thanks for those who are led to Christ, those who respond in faith to the gospel. in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. The Apostle Paul says this, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the words of men, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." He's thanking God for the Thessalonian believers in the fact that they responded to the gospel. And they're still taking in the word of God and responding in a positive manner to God's word. And so we need to thank God even for opportunities to give the gospel. I think if God opens a door, and God opened the door this past week for me to witness to an individual, and it just took me by surprise. I prayed the Lord for an opportunity, and it came. The opportunity came, and I witnessed to this individual. And it's wonderful to have those opportunities to share the gospel, the saving grace of Christ to those. I asked this individual, if you would die tonight, would you be assured of going to heaven? He says, "I hope so." And I said, "You don't have to hope. You can know. You can know for sure." And so I told him about John 3:16 and gave him the gospel and gave him a couple gospel tracts. So thank God for those who come to faith in Christ. The ninth thing, we need to give God thanks for rescuing us from sin. Now, this is on an ongoing basis here. Not only the fact that we've been rescued from sin as far as when we were unsaved, but God continues to rescue us from sin as we grow in God's grace. Paul says this, "I find a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Here Paul's having a struggle between the two eyes, the two natures, battling it out. But he comes to this realization that the victory is through what Christ provided on the cross. In verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I might serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." And Christ wrought a victory, as Paul laid out in Romans 6. He judged sin nature so that we can live in the power of God. He provided that enablement so he can deliver us from sin and on an ongoing basis in the Christian life. The tenth thing to be thankful for is the grace in Christ. God's grace in the person of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. "I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus." He's thankful for God's grace given to the Corinthian believers. And of course, grace means undeserved favor. And the only natural response for a free gift is thanks. Think about that. The natural response for someone giving you a gift is thanks. And we, out of all people upon the face of this earth, as believers who understand the freeness of salvation, we should be most grateful for God's unmerited favor given to us freely by His grace. And grace is a wonderful thing to be thankful for. Then, of course, this reflects upon who provided this grace. And so the 11th thing to give thanks for is for Christ. Christ is the one who made it available through His death on the cross. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. The indescribable gift is the gift of His Son. And of course, His Son was provided freely. His death on the cross provided life for us. So we are to give thanks to God for His indescribable gift. And that's the person of Jesus Christ. The 12th thing, of course, then we're thankful for the death of Christ, Christ's death. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. This is called the Eucharist or communion. When we partake of communion, that is a time of reflection upon the death of Jesus Christ and the words related to the word thanksgiving. The very root word means to give thanks. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And so we are to be grateful for the death of Christ on our behalf. And as we partook of Sunday communion, we're reminded of what Christ provided for us on that cross. And we're to be grateful for that salvation. Number 13, we are to give thanks for the ultimate victory over sin and death. There's still something God will provide for us in the future that we can be thankful for now. And God will ultimately provide us victory over this sinful body completely when He changes this body from mortality to immortality at the rapture. When Christ returns for the church, this corruptible will put on incorruption. This mortal will put on immortality. 1 Corinthians 15:54. So when this corruptible have put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass a saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We had the victory because when Christ died, He paid for sin completely. And so even our body will be completely delivered from sin at the point of the coming of Christ for the church. We will have a glorified body in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And that return is any minute, any moment He could return for the church and take us to be with Him, and this body will be transformed from a corruptible body to an incorruptible like unto His. And He gives us that victory. When we believe in Christ, that guarantees our ultimate glorification. It's absolutely guaranteed. And you can study Romans chapter 8, those He justified, them He also what? Glorified. Well, that's in the future, but Paul stated it as if it was already in the past. In the mind of God, it's already done. It's finished. So those, everyone who is justified, it's an unbroken chain, everyone who is justified will be glorified at the rapture. There's no loss of salvation. Scripture doesn't teach that. Our glorification is guaranteed. And we have a body like unto Christ because of Christ's victory over sin. And that ultimately affects not only our spirit and soul, but that has effect upon our body. Our body, that's called ultimate sanctification. You know, sanctification's in three stages. We are sanctified at the point of faith in Christ, called positional sanctification. As we take in the Word of God and grow in God's grace, that's called progressive sanctification. That's ongoing. Ultimate sanctification, setting apart like unto Christ, occurs at the rapture when we will receive our glorified body. And so that's what Paul was grateful for, that victory, and we should be grateful as well. The 14th thing to give thanks for is Christian giving. Christian giving. And by the way, Christian giving is a natural response of gratitude. You ever think about that? You're naturally responding in gratitude to what God has given you. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, says, verse 11 of chapter 9, 2 Corinthians, "While you are all enriched in everything for all liberality," that means giving, "which causes thanksgiving through us to God." Notice that giving naturally responds in us thanking God. Someone gives you something by God's grace, and then you respond and give thanks to God. It has a spiritual benefit, by the way. The monetary benefit that you give to someone else will likely have another effect of a spiritual benefit on their part. Think about that. It's like a chain reaction. And so they're spiritual. You give to them to help their physical needs, and they respond with thanksgiving to God for providing for those needs. It has a spiritual benefit. Most people don't think about giving in that sense. I'm helping someone else and enabling them even in a spiritual sense, not only monetarily, but the result of that is spiritual. I'll read verse 12 here of the chapter. "For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints," basically saying to the Corinthian church, your collection, your giving, for the saints, provided for their physical needs. But not only that, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God, plural. Meaning the collection that was taken up for those saints that are in need, now not only provided for their physical needs, but they're thanking God for that. And that giving has a spiritual benefit as a result of physically giving. "While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and your liberal," that means gracious, "sharing with them and all men." You were gracious in your giving, and there that spills over to their thanksgiving to God. And let me read your comment here from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. "The more one gives to others, the more he is enriched. And thus he can be generous on every occasion. Such a generous spirit toward others results in more and more people giving thanksgiving to God." And that's wonderful. Even the Lord Jesus Christ said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Number 15. We need to give thanks to God for salvation benefits. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. There are many things that are provided for us at the moment of faith in Christ. I mentioned 40 different things that we experience the second we believe in Christ. And Colossians mentions many of those things, as well as the book of Ephesians. I'd encourage you to study the book of Ephesians to realize a lot of your spiritual benefits. Let's read Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, and it lists a lot of those. Colossians 1 says, "Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." We have a future inheritance in heaven because of Christ's death. "He has delivered us from the power of darkness," meaning before you were unsaved, you were under the control of Satan and in the domain of Satan under his power. "You've been delivered from that and conveyed or transferred into the kingdom of the Son of his love." See, now you have a new position in the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual benefit. Verse 14 also mentions another benefit. "In whom we have redemption through his blood." Through the finished work sacrifice of Christ, he bought us out of the slave market of sin and set us free. That's redemption. Redemption means to buy out. Basically, there are six different Greek words that teach or convey the idea of redemption. The basic root word means to buy out. It's like we were a slave on a trading block, and the slave was sold to the highest bidder. And we were condemned to a life of slavery, but he bought us out of slavery, and then he released us, let us go. He freed us in Christ Jesus. And that's the idea of redemption. We sing the hymn, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed. A beautiful blessing of God's grace. Another benefit in verse 14 says the forgiveness of sins. All our sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. We will never, ever stand before the justice or the bar of God and be condemned in hell because of our sins. Our sins have been paid in full. All of them, completely. That's a benefit of grace. So, when I talk about salvation benefits, I'm talking about the salvation package. 40 things given. And, you know, forgiveness is only one of the 40 things. We have a salvation package all given to us, gratis, at the point of faith in Christ. Number 16, we need to give thanks for the reception of God's Word by others. As other people respond to the Word of God in a positive manner, we need to give thanks for that. And Paul conveyed that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. I think we listed here, not only under that verse, the fact that they came to faith in Christ, but they were positive in their reception. So that would be slightly different than what we stated earlier from that verse. Number 17, we need to give thanks for our appointment to Christian service. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Ministry means his service. Remember Paul was called by the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus? He came to faith in Christ, and there was a mission for Paul. He would spread the gospel to the Gentiles. He was, if you want to put it this way, enlisted into the service of the Lord as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So when we believe in Christ, we are given spiritual gifts. Now, we can refuse to use those gifts to the honor and glory of Christ, but God has given those gifts to us. And that's wonderful to think. We are appointed to serve. We're appointed to serve. And of course, we should manifest good works. Good works don't earn us heaven, but good works earn us rewards, and it gives our Savior honor and glory. Why not respond in a life lived for Him because of all that He has done for us? It's a natural response, by the way. A natural response to the freeness of the gospel is a life lived in service for Christ. So we are appointed to do good works. We are appointed to serve Him. And Paul was, and he thanks God for that. Think about this. Service to the Lord is a privilege. Think about that. So what goes hand in hand with giving thanks for being appointed to Christian service is the fact that we're privileged to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's an honor that we should thank God for. Imagine having the honor to, maybe as a soldier, to guard the tomb of the unknown soldier. Wouldn't that be a great privilege to serve? And those guys march in the sun and the rain and the heat, and you know. But they love it. It's an honor. And think about that. Think about our service not as a drudgery or a duty, but a privilege, an honor. And see, Paul thought of it in that way. What a privilege. A rotten, undeserving sinner like me, who murdered Christians, and now God's using me to spread the gospel to others, to teach them the Word of God. awesome. Number 18, I want you to think about this. We need to give thanks for civil authorities. Now, normally we're, you know, whether you like who's in office or not, we are still to give thanks. We are still to give thanks for those over us. Doesn't mean we ought to always agree with those who are appointed over us, but we are to give thanks for that. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Did you hear that? Not only pray for those in authority, but give thanks for those in authority. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. It's not only part of our civic duty, it's part of our spiritual responsibility to give honor to honor is due, fear to fear whom fear is due, custom whom custom is due. And so we should thank God for those in authority over us. And we need to pray for our leaders of this country that they might have true wisdom that comes from God in the decisions that they make. And that God may raise up righteous leaders, leaders with integrity that will direct this country and preserve the freedoms that we so enjoy. Number 19. And as we think about tomorrow, normally, naturally, we should give thanks then for food. The Bible does say that. Why pray before meals? Well, what's the principle? What's the principle in Scripture to pray before you eat? Well, there are several verses in the Bible that teach that, including 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. There's those in the last days that will teach doctrines of demons, and part of that is asceticism, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods. That's the idea that you're more spiritual if you don't eat certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving, meaning the foods God made. God created even the animals that we could eat. Saw a bumper sticker. I like animals. They taste good. Now, it says right here, God created those things. God created the plants, and you know, if you want to be a vegetarian, that's fine. God created the vegetables. God created other certain type of animals to eat. Nothing wrong with that. God provides for us in many different ways. But the food that we eat, we should give thanks for. For notice this, for every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. The word sanctified means set apart. By the word of God, my prayer. See? I remember, if I can recall the expression that a man told his young boys. He says, he was in a restaurant one day and says, see those people? They never pray before they ate. And there's an example of that in nature. Oh, really? Pigs do that. Pigs dive into the food. They don't pray for their meal either. whether you like that analogy or not, I thought it was a good one. But, you know, you think about people just take for granted food, our daily bread. God has provided for us. Instead of thanking God for that. Then, finally, the 20th thing is found in Ephesians 5:20. So let's all turn there. Let's turn to this last thing. Lest we leave anything out. Of course, there's more than 20 things in Scriptures to be thankful for. But this passage says, giving thanks always, that means at all times, for all things. Notice those two words, always, for all things, to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the 20th thing, we need to give thanks for everything. Everything. All things. And so that is a life of gratitude. Your life is to be a life of gratitude. I think the reason why Christians can get depressed and down, discouraged, they forget to thank God for what He has already provided for us. They're focused on what they don't have instead of what they do have. And wasn't that the attitude of the children of Israel? God delivered them miraculously out of slavery after 400 years. He sent 10 plagues judging the Egyptians. He opened up the Red Sea. He drowned their enemies in the Red Sea. And He brought them through the wilderness, provided food from heaven, water out of the rock, and they still grumble and complain and murmur. See? They weren't focused on what God has already provided for them. They were focused on what they didn't have at the current time. See? And so we should have an attitude and of thanksgiving of what God has provided for us already in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank You, Lord, for all things You have freely provided for by Your grace. I thank You that You are a gracious God. You are a God who has provided abundantly for all our needs. And as we reflect upon Your goodness tomorrow, help us to take time out to thank You, not only for the food, but for everything that You've given us. And our Father, I pray that we might be grateful, that we might not focus on what we don't have, but focus on all the richness that we do have as believers in Jesus Christ. Help us truly have an attitude, a mental attitude of gratitude. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. I think you had a question. What was it? Number two. Yeah, number two is give thanks for the works of God. The works of God. Okay.